Good morning from the sanctuary of Christ United Methodist Church in downtown Marietta. Welcome to Good News from Christ.
When we're in water up to our necks and sinking fast, I believe that it's good for us to call out, "Lord, save me." But it's good for us because that reminds us that we need God.
One of the most well-known scripture passages is when Jesus encourages the disciple Peter to walk on water. We often focus on Peter in this story, but Pastor Cheryl Arnold, in her message this morning, asks us instead to turn our eyes upon Jesus. We can substitute any person in place of Peter, and Jesus' hand would still reach out to save them. The offer to grab hold and be lifted to safety goes out to all. Pastor Cheryl bases her message on the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. Sarah Buchert graces us with lovely organ music. And now, gathered together in God's grace, let us worship together.
Lord, we come to you this day, seeking your healing and restoring love. Remind us to reach out to you in the good and easy times, as well as in times of fear and stress. Open our hearts to receive your message of peace and hope. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Sarah Buchert is going to share with us special music. Thank you.
Today's gospel lesson is Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up by the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Thanks be to God for the reading and hearing of Holy Scripture. For those of you not familiar with the shack, it's probably impossible to hear this passage and not think of Mackenzie Phillips, better known as Mac. If you didn't read the book, see the movie, or attend Carl Kump's Summer Sunday School series, most of the plot revolves around Mac's weekend spent with God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit. It's a weekend that challenges Mac's understanding of who God is and what God is really like. At one point, Mac is alone in the boat in the middle of a lake, and terrifying things start happening. It looks like he's going down with the ship. The only thing that saves him is listening to Jesus, who is desperately trying to convince Mac to look at him instead of the surrounding chaos. When Mac finally does, the sinking boat is restored to whole and the lake is calmed. Jesus, who's been walking toward the boat this whole time, eventually coaxes out a reluctant, unbelieving Mac. The two leave the boat in the middle of the lake, and they walk on top of the water to the opposite shore, watching schools of fish swim beneath their feet. That message, to keep our eyes on Jesus, is probably a good one for Christians, but it's only one of several within this text. John Ortberg wrote a book that digs into today's passage verse by verse. It's called, "If You Want to Walk on Water, You've Got to Get Out of the Boat." He encourages followers of Jesus to serve God by leaving their comfort zones, which I agree is good advice. But it seems to me that book's title begs the question, but what if you don't want to walk on water? Do you still have to get out of the boat? The parallel to today's text is found in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6. There are some important differences, but the contexts and much of the stories are the same. In both Gospels, Jesus tries to get some time away after learning that his cousin John has been beheaded. But the crowds follow, and Jesus, filled with compassion, uses his disciples to help feed more than 5,000 people with their 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And that's where today's story picks up. Jesus sends the disciples across the lake while he stays behind to dismiss the crowd. Then he climbs a mountain to spend the night in prayer with God. Meanwhile, the disciples spend all night trying to cross the lake, but they aren't getting anywhere. Now, this isn't the first time the disciples have been caught in a storm on the unpredictable Sea of Galilee. Back in Matthew's chapter 8, Jesus is in the back of the boat, catching a long nap while the disciples are trying not to drown. Scripture says the disciples woke up Jesus, begging him to save them. But I think that only some of the disciples ran to Jesus. I believe the fishermen among them were working their tails off to stay afloat. Regardless, Jesus rebukes the storm and the seas calm down. Everyone in the boat then asks, "Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey?" So, in today's story, everybody on board knows that Jesus could calm the sea if he wanted to. But he's not there. What seems different this time is that the disciples aren't afraid yet. And I suppose that by now, even the landlubbers have learned a thing or two about sailing. Still, these guys are exhausted. I mean, we give Jesus the credit for feeding the huge crowd, and rightly so. But Jesus made the disciples serve the food and clean up the leftovers. Even if we only count the 5,000 men, that means each of the 12 disciples served about 417 people outdoors. They were whipped before they even got in the boat. The original Greek puts the time that Jesus walked on water as the fourth watch, which was between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning. The disciples are bleeding and bruised from getting slammed into the oars and the wooden sides of the boat and each other. They're soaked to the skin, and they're dehydrated. Nobody packed the Dramamine. And then they look out and see what looks like a man walking on the water, approaching them. I don't know about you, but I don't know anyone who thinks clearly at 4 a.m. Is it any wonder that instead of exclaiming, "Jesus is coming to save us," they're screaming, "A ghost! Now we're gonna die!" Trying to reassure his friends, Jesus calls out, depending on your translation, "Take heart, take courage, it is I." Or, "Be encouraged, it's me." Scholars say the best translation of how Jesus identifies himself instead are the words, "I am." Remember the Old Testament story from Exodus 3? Moses encounters God at the burning bush. Moses encounters God, whose name is "I am who I am." Ever since, the title "I am" has evoked the sacred for the Jewish people, which included the disciples and Matthew's community. So when the disciples are being scared out of their wits, Jesus gives them that little extra to convince them. Who's walking on water? "I am." You know, the one who created the oceans. So don't be afraid. Now, we don't know if only Peter believed Jesus or only Peter doubted Jesus, but only Peter had the gumption to get out of the boat. And while we tend to remember that Peter sank, we forget that Peter did walk on water. He reached Jesus before Jesus reached the boat. My hunch is none of us today have walked on water, unless it was frozen. But we've all felt the same lows and highs and lows that Peter did. Maybe we're caring for aging parents the best we can. And then we have to start caring for a spouse, a sibling, or an adult child. Maybe we verbally accepted a promising full-time job, and then the company calls to say that the position won't be funded after all. Maybe we're getting the mental health help we know we've needed, and then our insurance company pulls out. While I can agree with Ortberg that God doesn't want us to stay in boats of despair and anxiety and depression, I believe the point of today's gospel story is more about Jesus than about Peter. As soon as Peter starts to go under, Jesus reaches out and grabs his hand. Yes, Peter first exclaims, "Lord, save me!" And Jesus does. But I don't think Jesus would have let Peter drown even if he hadn't made that confession of faith. I mean, can you picture Jesus standing there on the water, waves sloshing all around, robes blowing in the wind, while Peter sinks silently and Jesus just watches, shaking his head? Or what if it had been Matthew, the tax collector? Or Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus? Don't you think he would have saved them too? The Jesus I know reaches out to everyone who is drowning, not selectively to some. When we're in water up to our necks and sinking fast, I believe that it's good for us to call out, "Lord, save me." But it's good for us because that reminds us that we need God. But the story of the Bible is that God's ability to save us, Jesus' ability to save us, doesn't depend on us. It depends on God. We call that grace. Grace is God's unearned, undeserved, unconditional, unending love and mercy. God offers grace to everyone, whether we want it or not. Grace is Jesus rescuing a drowning Peter, even if he doesn't call out to be saved. Grace is Jesus reaching out to save us, even before we know we need saved. Now, I've understood for a long time that United Methodists are really big on grace. The Emmaus community emphasizes this. But it's hit home in my United Methodist course of study classes because when Presbyterian and Lutheran seminary professors repeatedly remark that Methodists do grace right, you get a new appreciation for how counterintuitive and countercultural grace is. Unfortunately, many of us grew up with an image of God that was anything but loving. Cartoonist Gary Larson depicts God as an old man with a white beard, with his finger poised over a computer keypad labeled Smite. While I love that cartoon, the good news of the gospel is that's not who God is. Recently, I read an Upper Room devotional by Michael McDonald, a pastor who was raised on fire and brimstone radio preaching. As a teenager, Michael began attending a church that emphasized God's love for people and our love for others instead of God's ultimate judgment. But he wondered if his new church was watering down the message of the Bible. He writes, "Then one day I came across 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, which says, 'There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear.' I was overjoyed to discover that God does not want us to live in fear of condemnation. Such fearful love is incomplete, immature, and imperfect. The loving message I heard at church is true." Michael reminds me of Mac from the shack, who spends the whole weekend learning about God's love. In the movie, at one point, Mac starts walking back to the boat that is still in the middle of the lake, only to get his feet wet. Jesus gently reminds Mac that he can't do this by himself. And the two of them wind up racing on top of the water, side by side, laughing. They don't even get back in the boat. Even if we don't want to walk on water, even if we never get out of the boat, and even when we take our eyes off Jesus, God's grace is still there for us. It saved Peter, and it saved Mac, and it saved Michael, and it can save us. And I say, thank God for that. Please pray with me. God of grace, we thank you for this day and this chance to worship together. It's hard for us to comprehend, but you've loved us since before we were even born. Help us understand that more than anything, you want us to know you and your amazing love, and you want us to share that love with others. Lord, surround these people with your grace, your mercy, and your love. And now we join our voices as one, praying as Jesus taught, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."
On behalf of your friends and neighbors, thank you for worshiping with us through radio this morning. Good News from Christ can be heard every Sunday morning at three different times on three different stations in this radio network. You can hear the program at 9 on WJAW-FM 100.9, at 9:30 on WJAW-AM 630, and at 10 o'clock on WMOA AM 1490. You can also listen to this or any past service on our podcast. Just go to our website, christumcmarietta.org. Whenever you are able, we would be delighted for you to come and worship with us in person. The Christ United Methodist Church Sanctuary is located at the corner of 3rd and Worcester Streets in downtown Marietta. Sunday morning services start at 8 and 10:30, with children's and adult Sunday schools starting at 9:15. We also hold a short service of prayer and Holy Communion every Wednesday at noon. Everyone is welcome. Again, thank you for worshiping with us today. May the grace and peace of Christ be with you today, this week, and always.